Well, I know most of us, if not all of us, know that Christmas is pagan. God tells us to speak words in season. So I'm going to talk about Christmas today. And I know that you know that it is pagan, but I think as we go through God's word, just as we go through speaking on the meaning of the holy days, every year we grow in God's word. That's how God works. So today, as we go through the message, I pray that there's some things that maybe we haven't seen before. I know there's a lot of things in here that I'll discuss that we have heard, but that we can be able to maybe have a deeper understanding of why we do not compromise at all with God's word and his truth and his ways, as we just sang in that last hymn, hating falsehood, loving what is right. So approximately 2 billion people, from what I could gather on the internet, celebrate Christmas. And 1 billion out of those 2 billion are from the Catholic religion. There's a handful of individuals, Christians, that do not participate in celebrating Christmas because they say it dishonors God. So let's, as we go through the message today, we will get a better understanding the depth of the Word of God and why he tells us not to celebrate and what people get for Christmas when they do celebrate it. I mean, there's a lot more than what I'm bringing out today, but people, God says in Scripture, to don't let the body, you know, the flesh is weak, don't appeal to these pleasing things. And Christmas can be very pleasing to the soul. You know, people appear happy, generous, full of good cheer. They have twinkling lights, Santa Claus and his reindeer. Christmas trees are decorated with lights, and entire families want to experience the special mystery that only comes with the Christmas season. People are exchanging gifts. Christmas music is played. Silent Night, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, and many other songs. And there's a popular song that I heard in the store this week by Andy Williams. Christmas is the most wonderful time of the year. What are people getting for Christmas? That's what I like to discuss today. We'll look at some things that people, what people are getting for Christmas. Number one, they're getting pagan practices for Christmas. It's the most wonderful time of the year. Think about that. You know, there's pagan customs throughout Christmas, and you know that. You know, the sun god is what people worship for December 25th. I'm not sure exactly where it started, but there's a lot of information on this, where farmers would, at the end of their planting season in autumn, would look to the sun god. And then eventually, from what I understand, the Roman Empire introduced it as well. In the encyclopedia, it has this to say about the holiday's historical beginnings, and I'm just touching on some of them. It says the precise origin of assigning December 25th as the birth date of Jesus is actually unclear. A number of theories in regards to this, but the New Testament provides no clues in this regard. December 25th was first identified as the date of Jesus' birth. by Sextus Julius in 221 AD, and later became a universal accepted date. And this was 200 and some years after the birth of Jesus Christ. One widespread explanation of the origin of this date is that December 25th was the solstice celebration, casting away the winter and heralding the rebirth of the spring and the summer. After December 25th had become widely accepted as the date of Jesus' birth, Christian writers frequently connected the rebirth of the sun and the birth of the sun. So the birth of the physical sun and then the birth of Jesus Christ, the sun. It says, one of the difficulties with this view is that it suggests a nonchalant willingness on the part of the Christian church to approximate a pagan festival when early church was so intent on categorizing itself from pagan beliefs and practices. So they were trying not to adopt them, but they caved. It says the instruction widely regarded as God's church at this time had drifted far from the early church in both beliefs and practices. So what they had believed in the beginning over time. Let's turn over to Jeremiah chapter 5. See what the prophet Jeremiah says as a warning. Jeremiah chapter 5. In regards to turning away from the truth. He says in verse 30, Jeremiah chapter 5, an astonishing and horrible thing has been committed in the land. Verse 31, the prophets, they prophesy falsely, and the priests rule by their own power, and my people love to have it so. So here we had the priests that were once teaching the word of God, or that followed down, started teaching something different. And what does it say? And the people loved it. But then it says, but what will they do in the end? When we do this, what happens to those people in the end? You know, we know that when people don't obey God, there's problems in this lifetime. And if we know the word of God and we drift from it, God says that's blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. If we truly understood it and go back into the world. So we know that these things happen. God tells us that those who are interested, we see that in Scripture, inspired, that if we're interested in the Word of God, that we'll worship Him in spirit, the Holy Spirit, and His truth. His truth. His Word is truth. Those who worship God in spirit and truth will find that Christmas giving is not from the wise men. Let's turn over to Matthew chapter 2. We see that today that it's the wise men. Yet Matthew 2, you also see in Luke chapter 2, or Matthew chapter 1 and Matthew chapter 1 and chapter 2, and also in Luke chapter 2, talk about the wise men and the birth of Jesus Christ. And people look at that and say, well, that's why we need to keep Christmas. But here in Matthew, did they exchange gifts, or did they just give a gift to the Son of God? And what were those gifts, and what do those gifts actually represent? That's not talked about today. Here in Matthew chapter 2, verse 11, they entered the house and saw the child with his mother, Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him, and they opened their treasure chests and gave him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. That's what they gave him. They didn't exchange gifts with each other. Now, if you look in Scripture, these gifts were highly symbolic. That represented Jesus Christ. Gold was a gift that was given to royalty. And in this case, it was given to the one who is to reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And we see that in Scripture. We also see in Scripture that gold symbolizes the perfect, righteous character of our Lord and Savior, who came as God in the flesh. We also see in Scripture that we are to be refined like fine gold. So there's a lot of symbolism to why they gave him gold. And then frankincense was an ingredient in the incense used in the worship of God in the tabernacle in the temple by Israel's high priest. And we see that in Exodus chapter 30, verses 34 through 37. It's also symbolic of Jesus Christ as who intercedes on our behalf as our high priest. And you can find more of that in our booklet, Holidays or Holy Days. There's much more information on that. Then myrrh was a gift symbolizing the suffering, death, and burial of Jesus Christ. And when he died, his body was wrapped in a 100-pound mixture of myrrh and aloes. And we see that in John chapter 19, verse 39. So these gifts weren't just out of the blue, and they weren't exchanging them amongst themselves. They actually represented who Christ was. And you can look at that in Scripture. They were prophetic of his life, his work, and death. You know, the situation where people exchange gifts with one another during this time has nothing to do with this biblical account, which people do. They take Christmas and say, this is biblical. This is celebrating Christ's birthday. Again, the exchanging of gifts started with the Romans way back when they were worshiping Saturn as well. And you can see that as you get in there and you type in Google Christmas and the history of it, you'll see a lot of other manifestations of the pagan winter festival. Another historical writing tells us that Christmas, more than 200 years after Jesus' death, was considered sinful. As late as AD 245, the early Catholic theologian, Origen, repudiates as sinful the very idea of keeping birthday of Christ, that Catholic Church. Encyclopedia Britannica, 11th edition, 1910, volume 6, page 239, under Christmas. And we see in Scripture that Jesus Christ never told his disciples to celebrate Christmas. Jesus Christ was not born in the dead of winter. I think most of us know that. You know, go back into the Scripture of Luke chapter 2, verses 1 and 3, when a census was called by the Romans. And they wanted to make sure everyone was counted. So they wanted everyone to go home so they could count everyone. They would not do that in the dead of winter. Again, you can find that in our booklet as well. Number 2, what else are people getting from observing Christmas? What are they getting for Christmas? They're getting a bunch of lies. And they're lying themselves. Because this is the most wonderful time of the year. The most reprinted article in the English language is from the 1800s. Wikipedia titles, Yes, Virginia, there is a Santa Claus. The most reprinted article in English. It goes like this. In the late 1800s, a young girl in America named Virginia O'Hanlon asked her father whether or not Santa Claus existed. Her father suggested she write a letter to the Sun, which is a New York City newspaper. So she wrote, Dear Editor, I am 8 years old. Some of my little friends say there is no Santa Claus. My papa says, if you see it in the Sun newspaper, then it is true. Please tell me the truth. Is there a Santa Claus? The letter was answered by an editor. His answer, and I have his name here, his answer became immortalized with a famous line, "Yes, Virginia, there is a Santa Claus." The entire Christmas holiday is riddled with lies. Yet most of society is happy to join in on the deception and call it fun. But to teach our children as they grow up and they learn, they've been lied to. It's okay to lie. You know, there's the North American Aerospace Defense Command, which is called NORAD, N-O-R-A-D, a joint Canadian and American early warning defense organization. They also get into the act because there was one year that in 1955, they put out a newspaper put out a phone number, call this number, and you can talk to Santa Claus. Well, they mistyped the phone number, and this is, phone number went to North American Aerospace Defense Command. But what did the people answering the phone do? Ah, they went along with it. It says it pretended to track Santa Claus across the Northern Hemisphere for decades. I remember being little and just watching the news, and the news said, hey, there's, and I was, my mom started attending church, and we just started attending, but the news said that there's something in the north that has been spotted, and it intrigued me. And I had no idea that it would be Santa Claus. And there was a commercial, and then it came back. They're tracking Santa Claus and Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. And it's like, if I had no idea about that that was not real, I would have been sucked in. So they played along with it. Lying. It has pretended to track Santa Claus, and this gained traction. The origins of tracking Santa Claus date back to 1955, like I said, when a local ad to speak directly with Santa printed the wrong phone number, instead directing children to a military defense operating center. Tracking Santa grew from there after officers on duty fielded the kids' questions. Actually lied to them. For more than 50 years, NORAD had followed the flight path of jolly old Saint Nick, perpetuating this huge lie is seen as a wonderful gift to children, and if you take it away, we'll be angry because exposing it is ruining the fun. Even though it's evil and perverse. Does God promote lying? What's the ninth commandment? I mean, Catholics still have the ninth commandment in their Bible. Many Christians have the ninth commandment in their Bible. Do not bear false witness. Can God lie? God does not lie. God condemns lying. But people are getting all kinds of lies for Christmas. Turn over to Isaiah chapter 38. God warns us of being involved in lies and demanding lies of others. People actually demand that people lie to their children. Don't tell them the truth. Don't cheat them of Christmas. What does God say? Is it more important to follow a man? Well, sometimes some people say Merry Christmas to us. They'll say, hey, Merry Christmas. You know, I think we had a number of us for lunch on Wednesday, went to a restaurant. 10 or 12 of us, somewhere in there. And the waitress said, Merry Christmas to us all. How did we respond? We just said, thank you very much for serving us. It was a great meal. So you can sidestep that. Being a business owner, I get many, many emails. Gifts come in the mail. How do I respond to all that? What does it say here in Isaiah chapter 30, verse 8? Now go write it down before them on a tablet and note it on a scroll that it may be for time to come, forever and ever, that this is a rebellious people, lying children, children who will not hear the law of the Lord, who say to the seers, do not see, do not look for the truth, and to the prophets, do not prophesy to us the right things. We don't want to hear that. Speak to us smooth things. Prophesy to us deceitful things. So you go into the world and you try to tell people, as we heard in the sermonette, they don't want to hear it. They don't want to hear it. And it can be proven. People want to be involved in lies during the most wonderful time of the year. Parents, grandparents, teachers, pastors, public officials, businesses, the media. They all keep Christmas. Many of these people in these positions keep Christmas and teach it's okay to practice lying. Number three. What else are people going to get for Christmas? Debt. A lot of people go into debt for keeping Christmas. It's part of the most wonderful time of the year. People feel pressured to buy gifts. If not, family members, friends, you know, you didn't buy me anything? Well, they're buying me something, so I got to buy them something. And most of the time, it's not something what people want anyway. But they go into debt to buy gifts during this time. Here's a story. Many stories could be told, but here's one story. There's a story of three children in a family. And these three children all wanted their own expensive gaming notebook computers to play and proudly show their friends. Right after Halloween, they began working on their parents to make it happen. By starting in early November, they felt they could get what they wanted by December 25th. Well, this had been a difficult year for the parents. Father was unemployed due to mandatory layoffs, and the highly educated mother was underemployed, finding no work in her expertise. The parents could not afford all three notebooks at one time, so they decided to buy one a year, starting with the oldest first. But the children persisted. We all want this notebook. After all, it was argued that all their friends had gaming computers. They whined, they badgered their parents until their parents gave in. Even though St. Nick says, you better be nice. We see this a lot. They went into debt. Their parents went into debt. They did not have the cash. They paid with their credit card at a high interest rate. Who knows how long it took for them to pay it off. And they thought to themselves, surely they hoped this would give their children a Merry Christmas by going into debt. It's the spirit of the season. This can entice young people into whining and complaining until they get what they want. But remember, this is the most wonderful time of the year. And Christmas teaches them to pout, to prod, to manipulate until they get what they want. that what Jesus Christ wants us to have? Is that the lasting success that Jesus wants us to put into practice? Christmas is used to teach the way of getting. Let's turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 3. It's selfishness. And there are people that give. Don't get me wrong. There's people that give. But when you start teaching lying, paganism, going into debt, getting what you want, that has a lot to do with selfishness. 2 Timothy. And we see, even after Christmas, what are the questions asked? Did you have a good time learning more about Jesus Christ, learning that way of life? No, it's always asking, what did you get for Christmas? What did you get? What did you get for Christmas? And Christmas is a day claimed to be for the worship of Jesus Christ, but forces our children to be focused on themselves and excusing that Christmas has a lot to do about greed. Here we see in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, it says, "Know this, that in the last days," these last days, the days that we're in that are ruled by the God of this world, "it's all about me. It's all about the self. Don't listen to God," right? That's what the society we're in. "Perilous times," it talks about difficult and hard to bear times, "will come, for men will be lovers of themselves." Isn't that what we see a lot with Christmas? You know, Satan ties it in with generosity. But they'll be lovers of themselves. In other words, they won't be obeying God. "Lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, and unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, out of self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. They have a form of godliness." Doesn't Christmas have a form of godliness? But look what it's teaching. It's all contrary to the Word of God. They deny God's power. And then Paul, as he's talking to Timothy, "and from such, turn away from these type of people." Turn away from them. Don't be a part of them. And we see all the way down to verse 13, it says, "But evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, they deceiving and being deceived." It's about Christmas as well. Going away from the Word of God, from the truth of God. Christmas emphasizes on greed, and it's permissible for Christmas. So people go into debt. They go into debt. That's what people will get for Christmas. Let's look at another thing, that what people will get for Christmas. And that is greed. Because it's the most wonderful time of the year. No, God's way is about give. Jesus Christ gave of himself. God gave of his Son so that we could learn what salvation is about how we come out of the world and how we put on Christ. Now, you can type greed in the search bar for the internet, which I did. And just to touch on a few things, it says one of the definitions for greed is described as an intense and selfish desire to have more. I want this, I want that. And that can destroy relationships. If it focuses on me, I'm not focused on you. We see some the children and adults, it's like, I want this, I want that promotion. Whatever it is, we're usually not thinking of anyone else. God's way is about esteeming others better than ourselves. Jesus Christ set that standard. There's five problems with greed in this particular article. It promotes jealousy. You have it, I don't. I want it. God tells us not to covet. Also teaches dishonesty. Sometimes to get something, you got to be dishonest. You know, I know when we were children, after some people were at our house and they left, I couldn't find some of my things sometimes. Because someone else wanted what I had. And I had the same attitude growing up. But we have to fight that. Greed shows shallow relationships. It's not really about really gaining a relationship with someone, wanting to grow in that relationship. Because we're always wanting more for ourselves. It says also greed gives us a lack of focus on what we need to be doing, what is right. Because our focus is on us, focus on getting more. And then dissatisfaction comes with greed. Because it says at the end of the day, you'll never be satisfied with a life if your heart is full of greed. Because if your goal is always to have more, you're never going to get there. Because there's never enough. Scripture tells us that. We see in Scripture in Luke chapter 6, verse 46. I'm not going to turn there. But Jesus Christ says, why do you call me Lord, Lord? And do not do the things which I ask you and show you to do. I never knew you because you broke my law. You practiced things that I told you not to do. And then we see that as we just read in Isaiah chapter 30. So since Christ is opposed of Christmas, why would any thoughtful Christian want to keep it? Well, we know Satan has a strong pull, as we heard in the sermonette. Let's turn over to 1 John chapter 5 and see what God tells us what we need to be doing. Because Satan is the god of this age, and people choose to follow him than rather follow the ways of God. They have their reasons. They compromise. Everyone else is doing it. So I'll be okay. It feels good. I don't want to do that. But here, 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17 says, we're told to not love the world. Not to love the ways of the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Now, we have a weak nature. We want to be. Sometimes we want to do those things. But God says not to. The flesh is weak. Human spirit stronger. The God's Holy Spirit is much stronger. It says, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, it's not of the Father, but that is of the world. To go against God's ways. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God will abide forever. So we don't want to go down that path. We've been called to come out of the world. We're here to follow God, which leads to true happiness. And God wants to give us eternal life. He actually wants to give us, as people that were made from nothing, God made the earth, and then he formed man out of clay. He wants to raise us up. He's created us in his image. He wants us to walk in his likeness, develop that even more through the Holy Spirit. And he actually wants to give us everything that he owns. Yes, he'll be the supreme God. Jesus Christ will be second. But he wants to give us everything he has. He's a giver. People do not understand the true God, and we've been blessed. Here are some reasons why some gave up Christmas. I have a few statements from individuals. It says, I cannot find Christmas in the Bible. So here's someone says, I can't find it in the Bible. Well, I have questions on this. So we see people looking. There are individuals that God keeps working with and calling. He says, nor can I find that Jesus told us to observe Christmas. Santa Claus is a lie, and some people teach their children every year this lie. For that matter, Christmas is false since it has nothing to do with Christ or his birthday. Beyond this, he says, business people who make most of their income during this time of year have increasingly promoted Christmas. Well-meaning people go into debt during Christmas to give gifts to others, which motivates others to give them gifts. It makes no sense to keep a religious holiday that is not biblical, that Christ never sanctioned, that promotes lying to children and puts people in debt, that blinds people to what Jesus Christ taught. I know we know this, but we're emphasizing it. People ask you questions. You can make some short comments if they ask. But we should know and realize that Christmas has nothing to do with Christ. Even if, I keep it for some other reasons. I don't keep it for those pagan reasons. We'll get to that in a minute. But here's another one. Someone wrote in, it is a historical fact that Christmas is not the day or season when Christ was born. So why observe a day that is a lie? Most people do not want to admit this fact. For example, how does the use of Santa Claus depict the birth of Christ? How does the Christmas tree depict Christ? Celebrating Christmas violates at least God's Ten Commandments, first, second, and third, is what they say. Observing a pagan holiday is a sin. God condemns the worship of pagan gods. The Bible does not command people to observe the birth of Christ as a holiday. This day, December 25th, has been observed for centuries as a pagan holiday in honor of the pagan sun god. God commands those who want to serve him not to observe pagan holidays or any customs that breaks his holy laws. And then here is another one. Our family traditionally celebrated Christmas on December 24th. We then followed up with a family day on December 25th. One day I had a strong desire to walk in the footsteps of Jesus Christ, which I thought I had been doing up to this point. I began to think of the songs we sang, O Tandem Ball, or O Christmas Tree. I had been singing to a tree like it was alive and had some strange power. We decorated it, placed our gifts below the tree as though the gifts and good feelings came through this process. I thought about the words to Silent Night, Holy Night, a truly beautiful piece of music. I wondered about shepherds and their flocks in the fields on a lovely evening at the end of December. But this was a contradiction. December was very cold and sheep wouldn't be in the fields, in the open fields at this time. The Christmas stories about Santa Claus and the shepherds in the fields on Christmas Eve, they are false. I discovered that Jerusalem is rainy and cold that time of year and sometimes snows in the region. Sheep are sheltered in the winter, not left out in the element of the weather. I also discovered that the Christmas tree and its ornaments and giving of Christmas gifts come from the ancient Roman festivals. The gifts our children had asked of Santa Claus financially burdened us. The lies about Santa Claus and his flying reindeer were misleading to our children. Also, the Bible tells that it is more blessed to give than receive. Not that you can't receive, but it's more blessed to give. During this Christmas time, I saw little joy in giving. Not that there wasn't any, but I saw children always expecting to receive. I have come to understand that godly blessings come from carefully obeying God. This is why I stopped keeping Christmas. There's another one, but I'll move forward. So we see that with history, that people do not keep Christmas to the point where God has instructed them to follow these Christmas traditions. They champion this pagan deity more than following the word of God. I think a lot of people that keep Christmas will tell you, yeah, there's people that learn that haven't understood that it's mainly, or it's all from paganism, but people say, I don't keep it for that. Most people know the origins of it. Most people know that they don't want to be lied to, but they'll lie to others. And throughout the other year, they teach their children, don't be greedy. You shouldn't be lying. This is all confusing. No matter how people present Christmas, its roots are from paganism. Christ told his brothers to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. People don't do that. That's in the New Testament, in John chapter 7. Paul told the believers in Corinth to keep the Passover and the days of unleavened bread. See that in 2 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 5, 7 and 8, and also in chapter 11, 23 and 24. We go through that each year. What are we told to do? 1 John chapter 2. Do we compromise at all, just a little bit? 1 John 2. Well, we see that Christmas is pagan. We see that it is evil. We heard that scripture about those who disobey God, it's an abomination. But here, in the sermonette in Deuteronomy, but here in 1 John chapter 2, verse 6, and we know that Jesus Christ never kept Christmas. Show me in the Bible where he kept Christmas. Can't find it. So what are we supposed to do? 1 John chapter 2, verse 6 says, by this we know that we are in him. He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked. We're to do what he says. Follow his example. We are to walk as Jesus Christ walked. Let's turn over to Deuteronomy, because God tells us to be careful. To be careful what we do. Just don't be doing things to be doing them. Hear the word of God and put it into practice. It's important that we fully surrender to God. Deuteronomy chapter 17. Let's pick it up in verse 18. It says, also it shall be when he sits on the throne of his kingdom. You know, this is talking about a king and his kingdom. What does God require the king to do? That he shall write for himself a copy of this law in a book from the one before the priests, the Levites. And it shall be with him, and he shall read it all the days of his life. So in other words, God says, I want you to write this down, write down the law every day, parts of it, and keep doing that, to be reminded of it. And that's what we need to be doing, reading the word of God, meditating on it, put it into practice. But this was a requirement of a leader. And it shall be with him, and he shall read it all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God, and be careful to observe all the words of his law and these statutes, that his heart may not be lifted above his brethren, that he may not turn aside from the commandment of the right hand or to the left, that he may prolong his days in his kingdom and his children in the midst of Israel. I'd also like to turn to Deuteronomy chapter 12. Fred read couple of these verses. He started in verse 30. I'll start in verse 28. Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 28 says, "Observe and obey all these words which I command you, that it may go well with you, your children, after you forever. When you do what is right, what is good and right in the sight of the Lord." And verse 29, "And when the Lord your God cuts off from before you the nations which you go to dispose, and you displace them and dwell in their land, take heed to yourself that you are not ensnared to follow them." It says, don't follow their ways. In verse 32, "Whatever I command you, be careful to observe it. You shall not add to it nor take it away." Don't add to my word, nor should you take anything away from my word. And if you do that, it says in verse 31, it's an abomination. It's an abomination to God. See, we are, as the body of Christ, we are to live and teach our children the true gospel message of the Bible. We are to be embracing life, teaching our children what Christmas actually is, and showing them what the Word of God is. That salvation and our work is to be of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. There's no greater gift that we can give our children. There's no Christmas present that's better than teaching our children the Word of God and what these false customs are. All in all, what people are getting for Christmas are lies, pagan practices, debt, and greed. Just some of the things that they're getting for Christmas. By observing Christmas, they are teaching that these things are okay and are part of the most wonderful time of the year.